Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. This is God's word. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son that he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow,' when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he's done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There is so much in this chapter, lots and lots of important life lessons. This is a collection. The book of Proverbs is a collection of sayings from Solomon. There are some others that are in there too, and they're identified. But basically, it's a collection of the wisdom of Solomon, who was written up as the wisest man in the world. People came from all around. Other scholars and rulers came to ask him questions because he was just a source of tremendous knowledge and wisdom. But we saw in the opening chapter of Proverbs that Knowledge and wisdom begin with what you believe about God. That's where it starts. Everything else flows from that. Now, in this chapter, there are a whole bunch of things that we could focus on, and I will focus on some of them. But the main point is right out of verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's not all of verse 5, but that's the main point. And if there's anything that will be the manifestation of really knowing the truth about God, it's that you'll trust him. It's not just an academic sort of knowledge where you know these facts, okay? You can list certain attributes of God. It's a relationship, a knowledge where you know him. You don't just know about him. And if you truly know the one true God, you'll trust him. God knows everything. Do you think you might possibly have a better idea than God does? Do you think that you need to inform him of something, help him alter his perspective? If you know the truth about God, you know that he knows everything. Yeah, but can he do anything about it? Well, yes, he has all power. Not just a lot of power or most of the power. He has all power. You and I can't draw our next breath apart from him. The universe is held together by the word of his power. He is the one who keeps everything as it should be. Well, but if God knows everything and God is all powerful, then why is there suffering? Well, we've talked about that before. We'll talk about it again. It's not the focus of today's lesson, but the bottom line is, it's not on him. We're the ones who messed up. God said, do this and live. Do this and you'll die. We did this. And so we experience in various ways death. Not just physical death at the end of our lives, but all around us. The Bible says in Romans 8 that all creation groans because things are out of joint. Things aren't the way that they were designed to be because we messed it up. Now, you can blame God like a fool, or you can decide there is no God like a fool, or you can realize, woe is me, I am undone. God have mercy on me. You can cry out to him, and what you will find is that God doesn't say, well, I'll get to you when I can. He says, this is why I sent my son. I sent my son to pay the penalty that you deserve for your sin. If you know the truth about who God is, that he is not only the creator, all-knowing, almighty, but he is the God of love. God is love, real love, sacrificial love, transforming love. The consequence of really knowing the truth about God is that you will trust the Lord with all your heart. You'll trust him. Because you know that you don't always know what's needed, but he does. And you won't always get it right, but he does. And so when God says something and it seems like, what? That goes against what I think. Well, you need to change your thinking. Or that goes against what I'm feeling. Well, you need to operate on the basis of faith, not feelings. You need to operate on the basis of fact. And the facts, knowledge, starts with the fear of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books?
We'd like to encourage you to visit PastorWood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit PastorWood.org today. That's PastorWood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
So, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not with a lot of your heart, most of your heart. You know, I'm willing to follow God so far, but there is a limit, you know. if he's calling on me to lay my life down, this is not going to work. Well, he is calling on you to lay your life down. And if you don't trust him and do what he says, it's not going to work. Periodically, we hear of people who used to be a Christian and now they've left the faith. They didn't used to be a Christian. They used to identify as a Christian. But if you are born again, God comes to live inside of you, and you're not finished yet, but you are a work in progress, and God is in the process of making you new from the inside out. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In the important aspects of your life, acknowledge... Wait a minute. Oh, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. How much of your life does God care about? All of it. God cares about everything that concerns you. Now, he doesn't put the same priority on everything that you do. You may think, this is really important. And God may say, you're overlooking this, which is really important. Okay? That is not going to last. Do you get as concerned about your holiness as you do about your favorite team winning? I've never been concerned about my holiness. Well, let me tell you, I don't even know what holiness is. What is holiness? Holiness is a description of your exclusive ownership on the part of God. It's something that is dedicated to a purpose or an owner. Okay? My dog's dish is holy to the dog. We don't go out there to see if there's anything good in there that we might want to eat. You understand? If you put a steak in that dish and I saw it before the dog got to it, I would not think for a nanosecond about retrieving it and eating it. Why? Because once it's in the dog's dish, that's not for anybody else. You understand? If you are a Christian, your life, your body, your relationships, your time, your money is holy to the Lord. And that's why it's not up to us to just do what we want with what's ours. If you've been born again, it's not yours. You're his. Everything you've got is his. Your talents, abilities, energies, everything belongs to him. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. And what he promises to do is direct your path. He'll make your path straight. When it says God will make your path straight, it doesn't mean there won't be any bends or turns. What it means is it'll be very clear where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. You won't be left wondering, gee, should I commit adultery or not? Okay? God's made that very clear. Should I lie? No. Well, is it okay for me to take this even though it's not mine? No. God will make your path straight. God says, this is the way, walk in it. So, that's just Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A few more. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. When it comes to even everyday living, I'm still able to tie my shoes, thank God. But I don't get up in the morning and think, I've got this. Boy, the world's fortunate to have me. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do it. No, I get up and I say, Lord, I can do nothing without you. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. If you're wise in your own eyes, if you think you're really special, you know, I mean, those other people. I had a fellow on Cape Cod years ago. He was our son's physical therapist. And he said, Jim, I'm really puzzled by you. You seem to be an intelligent, educated man. And yet you really seem serious about Christianity. And he said, I just don't understand. He said, I can see for somebody like my father-in-law, who went to our church, where he would need Christianity because it would give some sort of meaning to his life. But he said, but you're very intelligent. Why would you believe that stuff? And I said, well, thank you for asking, but have you ever read C.S. Lewis? And he said, no, who's C.S. Lewis? Now, remember he said he valued education. I said, let me give you one of his books. So I gave him a C.S. Lewis book to read, and he came back after a week for physical therapy for my son again. And I said, did you read the Lewis book? He said, yeah, I've realized that I'm not as much of an intellectual as I thought. That was the best thing C.S. Lewis could do for him. Brought him down a few notches. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Don't have anything to do with it. It's like, well, you know, I don't really want to give in to it, but I'd like to play with it a little while. No! Shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You'll be better off if you will fear the Lord and shun things that you know are wrong. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. What this is saying is if you put God first in your finances, God will take care of your finances. I had a guy who came to see me in Atlanta. He said, I really feel bad. I haven't been able to tithe in over a year. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm a real estate developer. And he said, I've had no income for the last 3 years. And so this whole last year, I've not been able to tithe. And I said, Joe, 10% of zero is zero. If you've got no income, you can still tithe on that, and the amount you need to give is zero. Okay? Anything over and above the tithe is called an offering. He said, well, I have been able to give some, but not like before. I said, Joe, you're fine. Well, that guy had been tithing, and then he went for several years with no income? Yeah, because in the good years, he made millions. Understand? He still was able to pay his bill. He's been in heaven now for years. His house is still standing, looks good, and his widow lives there. Okay? God took care of his finances, even though there were times when he didn't have a lot coming in. Sometimes it's with an abundance, like it describes here. Other times it's with preservation and amazing provisions. And we've certainly seen that here at the ranch. God will provide for those who honor him with their wealth. Give him the first fruits. Don't say, I'll give him what's left at the end of the month. Start out with what goes to God. I've been doing that since I was a child, and God has amazed me with his kindness. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Do you believe that? In chapter 1, we saw that the wise person appreciates discipline, grateful for correction. If you've got something you're doing wrong and someone corrects you, instead of resenting them, thank them. Appreciate those who care enough about you to correct you. The fact of the matter is, all of us sometimes get it wrong. And those who care about us have the responsibility to try and help us do better. So when someone is correcting you or disciplining you, thank God for that and thank them for that. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. For the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Then beginning in verse 13, he talks about the tremendous value of wisdom. And the fact, beginning in verse 19, that wisdom is an expression of God's character. Wisdom is the means by which the Lord designed creation. As you learn science, you will see over and over the amazing way that God has put things together. Whether we're talking about the size of the earth and its orbit around the sun, or the size of the moon and its orbit around the earth, or whether we're talking about the nature of the atom and the subatomic particles, or we're talking about microscopic life, or we're talking about biospheres. Whether you're looking on a big scale or a small scale, there is evidence all through there of the genius of the Creator and his design being a design to provide for life, to provide for us whom he loves. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. So, we need to value wisdom and to pursue it. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Don't let them out of your sight. They'll be life for you. Verse 31. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. Not any. If this guy is doing what he does by violence, you don't want to take any advice from him. Well, he knows a lot about cars. No, just stay away from that guy. All right? Don't choose any of his ways. Why? Verse 32, because the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. If you will do what God says, he'll show you what you need to know. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. Two options. You want to be wise, or you want to be a fool? Pursue wisdom. Cherish wisdom. Where will I find wisdom? Well, it starts with trusting the Lord. And you'll find what he wants right here.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.pastorwood.org.